Today's daf is Chulin daf Kuf Chaf Beis, and we are 8 lines from the bottom of daf Kuf Chaf Aleph Amid Beis. Today's daf is being learned as a Schus Refua Shalema for Shlomo Ben Sara Aliza. So we're at the tail end of a very intense sugya where the Gemara was discussing the second halacha in the Mishnah, daf Kuf Yud Zayin Amid Beis, right in the beginning of the perek, which discussed the halacha of mefarcheses. So we know that if one shechts an animal, a kosher shechita, the animal is still alive. It's mefarcheses. So it's literally hanging on to its last few moments of life. The halacha is that even though it's alive, if somebody would take an aver or basar from this animal and eat it, he would not be over the iser aver menachai, he would not be over the iser basar menachai. And even though he's removing an aver or basar from a live animal, but being that the animal already had a kosher shechita, that's enough to remove the iser aver menachai and the iser basar menachai. Because the definition of chai, as it relates to aver menachai and basar menachai, is not physically whether the animal is alive or dead, but rather it's whether the animal had a shechita or did not have a shechita. Loi b'misa talya milsa, ela b'shechita talya milsa. For that reason, if the animal's mefarcheses, it would be okay to eat. The Mishnah discussed the case where someone shechted an animal. It was mifarcheses. It was not a kosher shechita for a very obvious reason. And still, on some level, we'll say that being that there was a kosher shechita, will somehow in halacha view the shechita as a shechita. What was the case? Where somebody shechted a behemet meya, a non-kosher animal. This week's parasha talks about the non-kosher animals. So somebody shechted a gummel, a shafan, an arneves, a chazer. He shechted a non-kosher animal. He shechted it with the intention that a goy should eat it. That's poshit, the shechita is not a kosher shechita, because it's a non-kosher animal. How could you shecht a non-kosher animal? Stating that, if the animal's mefarcheses, we're going to look at the shechita as if it's a shechita to the extent that we'll now view the animal as dead, so that it'll be subject to Tumas Eichlin. Because only a dead piece of meat is subject to Tumas Eichlin. A live piece of meat is not subject to Tumas Eichlin. L'chura, at first glance, this animal is alive. But being that it had a kosher shechita, and in Hilchos Shechita there's an idea that if you give an animal a kosher shechita, even if it's still alive, it's mefarcheses, still the animal's considered shachut with regards to the halachas of Eivim and Achai, as it relates to this animal as well. Even though it's pashut, the shechita was not a kosher shechita. Why not? Because it was a behemet meya. But if there was a maisa shechita, even if the animal's alive, we're going to look at this maisa shechita as if it effectuated a real shechita to the degree that we're going to look at this as being a piece of flesh of a dead animal, thus will be subject to the halachas of Tumas Leichlin. The Gemara and Daf Kuf Chafala from the days brought a very long braisa, and one of the things that the braisa mentioned was another example, another application of the same exact concept, and that would be what happens if a non-Jew would shecht a kosher animal with the intention that a Yid will eat it. The animal was mefarcheses. There too, said the Braisa, this animal will be subject to the halachas of Tumas Eichlin. Why? Because being that there was a shechita, even though the animal's alive, now we look at it as a piece of meat of a dead animal, there's going to be Tumas Eichlin. The problem is there was no shechita. The guy is the one that shechted it. And we know that a Yid has to shech. And any Yehudi is possible a shechita. But there it is, it was farta maisa shechita, and therefore we deem it a shechita at least to the degree that you'll have the halachos of Tumas Eichlin. Either way, the Gemara discussed it in very great detail. There was a machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Chizkiyah, whether if somebody would remove an aver or a kezayis basa from this animal that's mifarcheses, that really didn't have a kosher shechita, but on some level we view it as if it did have a kosher shechita, would it be an iser aver menachai? Did it be an iser basa menachai? The Gemara had a tanya kavase, the Rabbi Yochanan. Either way, the Gemara concludes this discussion with a few more interesting shailas regarding this halacha. Boy, Rabbi Lazar, Shaba, Doris, Bamahu. What happens if the Yid who shechted in the Mishnah Daf Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Beis, or the non-Jew that shechted in the Braisan, Daf Kuf Chaf Aleph Beis, so he shechted, it wasn't a good shechita, but on some level it was a good shechita. What happens if while he was doing the shechita, he violated some of the halachas in Hilchos Shechita? So we know there are 5 halachas L'moshe Misinai that govern every shechita. You can't do Shia, you can't do Hadrasa, Hagrama, etc. So what happens if this person messed up in the shechita? Shaba, Dares Bamahu, do we say that, oh, now it's not a kosher shechita anymore? So if it's not a kosher shechita, it won't be subject to Tumas Leichen? Or do we say this was never a kasher shechita? I mean, this whole thing on some level is really all in our imagination, that we're somehow making believe it was a kasher shechita. So the fact that a goy shechted doesn't bother me, but the fact that Shabbat and Darasba is going to bother me, the fact that you're shechting a chazer doesn't bother me, but the fact that it's Shabbat and Darasba is going to bother me, so that was the Shaila, very nice Shaila that Rabbi Lazar asked. Omaleya, who Saba? So there was a Saba who answered. Who's Ahu Saba? So Tosis throughout Shas says that wherever the Gemara says Ahu Saba, it means Eliyo Anavi. So Eliyo Anavi chimed in, and he said, Hachi Yom Rabbi Yochanan, Tzricha Hechshe Shechita Kebehema Tahayu. Now you have to prepare it literally as if you were shechting a behemoth Torah. Says the Gemara, Hechshel Amai, what does that mean? Omer Reb Shmuel Bar Yitzchok Bedika Saken. Even have to check the Saken. So that's Pashat. As it relates to the actual Shechit, you have to make sure it's a Kosher Shechit. We'll look away in our Mishnah from the fact that it's a behemoth Tmeya. We'll look away in the Braisa from the fact that it's an Eni Yehudi that's doing the Shechit. But as it relates to the Chetza of the Shechit, it has to be perfect. You have to make sure there's no Shabba Daris, but you even have to check the Sakin to make sure that there's no Pkimos in it, to make sure that this Shechitu was done 100%. Another Shaila, Mausha Tatzel Allah Beluin Shabbatoich. So we're familiar with the halach of Tumas Meis. Stating that, the halach is that if somebody would swallow something, so let's say somebody swallows a ring, walks into an oil amis, the halach is that the ring that's Balua inside the person that swallowed it doesn't become tummy tumas meis. And even though technically it's under the same oil as the meis, but being that it's balua inside the person that swallowed it, there's a halach of tumas baluin. If somebody swallows something and now enters an oil ameis, the person is tummy tumas meis, but what's balua inside the person will not be tummy tumas meis. Now this is only true if the person's alive. What if the person, Rahman al-Son, dies? So a dead person or a dead animal doesn't have the ability to be matzel, something that it was baileya. So the question is, this animal right now, that's mifar cheses, if it had something balua inside of it, would we say that the animal is matzel on what's balua on it, in it, or is it not matzel on what's balua in it? What's the crux of the question? Do we look at this animal as if it's alive? Do we look at it as if it's dead? If it's alive, it's going to be matzel. If it's dead, it's not going to be matzel. And this was the question. This animal that is alive, but at the same time, we look at it as if it's dead with regards to Tumas Oichlin, despite the fact that it's still Mefarcheses. How about with regards to Tumas Baluin? Do we look at it then as being alive, or do we look at it as being dead? Amale. So the question was asked from Rav Sheshes to Rav Zeira. So Rav Zeira told Rav Sheshes, Metame Tumas Oichlin Umatzeles. How could you tell me it's going to be matzel? If it's Metame Tumas Oichlin, that means we look at it as if it's dead. If it's dead, it can't be matzel. Amale. So Rav Sheshes told Rav Zeira, I hear, but I can spin it the other way. Ain't Metame Tumas Neveilos Veloy Tatzel. It's not Tommy Tumas Neveilos. That's what the Mishnah said. The Mishnah said, while it's in a state of Mefarcheses, it's Metame Tumas Oichlin, it's not Metame Tumas Neveilos. So if right now it's not Metame Tumas Neveilos, then how is it possible that it shouldn't be matzel? Says Omar Bayos. Abaya said, what's the achra? Eina matzelos ala bluin shavisoicha. It can't be matzel ala bluin. Dometame tumas oichlin. Being that it's tame tumas oichlin. And then Abaya said another alocha as it relates to this animal that's alive, it's hanging on to its final moments of life, its mifar cheses, stating that we look at it as if it's not alive with regards to tumas oichlin, that vaharoiva, if someone would be roiveya, arayos with this animal, chayev, he would be chayev, da ina metame tumas nevelo. Because with regards to that, we would say for sure, we look at it as it's maisa, it's alive, and it's not tummy tumas nevelos. Either way, you have to start going through each subcategory in Shulchan Aruch. Do you look at this as a live animal? Do you look at it as a dead animal? So really, it's a little nishtahi nishtaher, and a little bit satanst of tzvei chasanas, because to some degree we look at it as if it's alive, to another degree we look at it as if it's dead, tumas oichlin, tumas nevelos, tumas baluin, roivach. Either way, that concludes the first part of today's talk. The Mishnah had discussed different parts of food, whether they're mitzarif or not mitzarif to the shir. The Mishnah had said, this was the first halacha of the Mishnah, Arva, Reite, Vakipa, Ve'olol, Ve'atzomis, Ve'agidim, Ve'akrenayim, Ve'aklofayim, mitzarif and matami tumas oichlon, abaloi tumas nevelos. These things are all mitzarif to the shir kebeya that oichlon needs in order for it to become tame. They're not mitzarif to the shir kezayis that basar needs in order for it to have tumas nevelos. One of the things mentioned was the aloe, Then the Mishnah concluded with another halacha regarding the alel. That was Rabbi Yehuda Omer. We saw this a little bit in yesterday's daf. Alel hamechunas. That if the alel was gathered together in miyech by gezayis by makom echad, if you have a gezayis in one place, chayiv all of you are going to be chayiv. Meaning, even though the reish of the Mishnah said that this alel is mitzdarif for tumas leichlin, it's not even mitzdarif for tumas nevelis. So you can't even use a little bit of this alel to be mitzdarif to the shir gezayis of tumas nevela. Rabbi Yehuda says that it's possible that you could have a whole gezayis of alel and it will be Tomei Tumas Nevela. How's it possible to have that? If the Alel was Mechunas, if it was gathered together, then the Alach is Yesh Bei Kizayis B'Mokim Echad, then you're going to be Chayim. Now, in yesterday's daf, we had a discussion in the Gemara what exactly Alel is, right? The Gemara began Daf Kuf Chaf Alef Omer Alef, my Alel. And Rabbi Yochanan said that what it means is Martika. It's referring to the cervical ligament. This is a gid, it's a sinew that's in the spine, it's in the neck. Rashi said it's wide, it's white, it's very hard, it's not edible. And as a result, it has a very special place in halacha. Reish Lakish says that it means basa shepoltasai sakin. It's referring to the meat that is attached to the hide of an animal when the animal is being flayed. That little meat, even though really it's basar, but being that it was removed from the animal during the flaying process, so on some level the person was mevatel that basar while he was flaying it. That's what emerged from the Gemara, Daf Kuf Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph, and that's why it has a very special place in halacha. And the Gemara concluded that even though it's machlokes Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish what exactly alel is, the machlokes is only said with regards to the reish of the Mishnah. Meaning when the reish mentions alel, where there's a distinction between whether the alel is mitzdarif for Tumas Oichlin versus Tumas Neveilois, via Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish debated what the Chachamim meant when they used the word alel. But as it relates to the last halacha in the Mishnah, where Rabbi Yehuda used the same exact word, when he said alel there, for sure what he was referring to was basa shepoltas leisakin. Because as it relates to martika, you could have all the martika in the world. It's not going to be mitzdarif to a shir nevela. He said, if you take the basa shepoltas leisakin, says Rabbi Yehuda, if it was mechunis, then the halacha is, if you have a kezayis in that case, you're going to be chayv. Either way, the Gemara is now going to discuss a little bit shitas Rabbi Yehuda, and this next little bit of Gemara is not so easy. It's really shocking. It's really based on a Mishnah on Daf Kuf Chav Dalet, which is Sunday's Daf. The Gemara is going to go into it again on Sunday's Daf, so we'll start it now and really go into it in greater detail, Mitzvah Hashem, in a few days. But either way, says the Gemara, so Rabbi Yehuda said, if the Alel was Mechunas B'Makom Echad, the Halacha is, if you have a Kezayis, it's going to be Tomei, even Tumas Nevela. No, it's much harder to create a Tumas Nevela, as we see in the Mishnah. But if you have a Kezayis of Alel, Mechunas B'Makom Echad, that's enough, even for Tumas Nevela. This is only true if the person himself gathered it together. So if you went and you took a Kezayis of Alel, you started piecing it together, then this Halacha is going to be true. But let's say it happened by itself, or an animal did it. I don't know. It happened in some other way. Then this halacha, it's not going to be true. Meaning, if you gave it to chshivas by bringing it together, that's where Rabbi Yehuda said his halacha. I'm Rabbi Yehuda said another halacha. Shnei chatzoy zeis and sheyesh al gabi or ha'or mevatlon. So again, a kezayis of basar nevela is metame tomas nevela. Nevela's metama b'maga u'b'masa. So one of the chidushim of Tumas Nevela is that it's not only metama b'maga, it's also metama b'masa. So Rav Huna came along and he said a halacha. He said, what would be if somebody was carrying a kezayis of Nevela? Yes, a kezayis of Nevela, it's Tumas Masa. But it was two pieces of Nevela, each one measured a half a kezayis. And the way it was just physically situated was each half a kezayis was attached to our. So you had a piece of skin of an animal, a hide of an animal that had a chatzi zayis, not a big share, he had a little bit of basar, and then there was another big slab of art that had a little bit of, and he's carrying both of them. So Rav Huna said a halacha that it's not going to be mitzdarif. Two half a zaysim, sheyeshen al gabe ar, the ar is mevatel. Meaning the ar is mevatel, this half a kezayis, the ar is mevatel, this half a kezayis, so if I don't have a half and a half, I can't make a whole, because each half is batel. Says the Gemara, libedaman, that lechura, if you learned the Mishnah on Daf Kuf Kaf Aleph and Aleph, you would know that this halacha that Rav Huna said is mamish a mefurish Mishnah. It's kedai to see the Mishnah inside. The Mishnah over there brings a machloikis, Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Akiva. Or sheyesh, aleha, hoyu alav, shnei chatzoy zeisim. If somebody had or. And there were two half a zaysim on the art. Metame b'masa v'loy b'maga. Divi Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Kiva, I'm v'loy b'maga v'loy b'masa. So that's a mefurish ha'machlokes. Rabbi Yishmael says again, if you had on the art, two half a zaysim. It's not metame b'maga, but it is metame b'masa. Rabbi Akiva says loy b'maga for loy b'masa. Kum tzakein Rav Huna and Amoira generations later. And what did Rav Huna say? Shnei chatzoy zaysim sheish nol gabi yor har mevatan. It's not going to be metame. So the Gemara says, Rav Huna, why are you saying this halacha? This is already it's a mishnah. Everybody knows this mishnah. Say the Gemara, Ali b'demat. Who's Rabbi Huna going according to? Yeah, Rabbi Yishmael. Is he going according to Rabbi Yishmael? It's not true. Rabbi Yishmael said not that way. Ha'amar loy mevatalar. He said it's true, two half is ace and not matama tumas maga, but they are matama tumas masa. The Eli with Rabbi Akiva is going to Rabbi Akiva pshita. That's what Rabbi Akiva said. I'm a mevatalar. Some man of shach. Is Rav Huna going coin to Rabbi Shmuel? Then it's not true. Is he going coin to Rabbi Akiva? We don't need Rav Huna for that. That's pshita. So what's Rav Huna the Amoira coming to add as it relates to this halacha in Tumas Nevelos? L'chayr, it's something that the Tanam already discussed in a Mishnah, no less. So he was coming to say his halacha aliba de Rabbi Yishmael. L'chayr, how can he be saying his halacha aliba de Rabbi Yishmael? Rabbi Yishmael said mefurish that you don't say the Ur is mevatel the half his eyes. It is going to be metama Tumas Masa. It's mamish, not like what Rav Huna said. Says the Gemara v'chiyam Rabbi Shmuel, Rav Huna held the chiddush that this Rabbi Shmuel said is halacha that loy mevatalar hani milu shbaltas achay. That's only if a chayah was the one that removed these two half a zaysim. Avapoltas leisakin batal. But if a person was flaying the animal and he himself removed a little bit of the basar as he was flaying the animal, that basar has no chashivas. I mean that basar has no chashivas. He would be carrying a half a zayis of that and half a zayis of that again. There wouldn't be mitzdarf. Meaning Rabbi Shmuel holds conceptually it's possible to be mitzdarf two half a zaysim of basar for the sheer tumas masa of nevela. That's Rabbi Shmuel sheet in the Mishnah. But kuntz again Rav Huna, and he said that's only if an animal, for example, was what removed it. But if a person flays the skin of an animal, and he, by when doing that, removes a little bit of basar, there's a new halacha that the maisa hefshet, the maisa flaying it, is mevatel the chashivas of that basar, and that basar will never be able to be mitzdarf. So Rav Huna was saying a chiddush, he was coming to qualify Rabbi Shmuel's halacha. Rabbi Shmuel's halacha that the two hafazesim are mitzdarf is only true if it just happened by its own, or poltasei chaya. But poltasei sakin is going to be different. So the Gemara talks about Rabbi Huda said in our Mishnah, ha'olol ha'mechunis, if you had it all together, me'esh gizayis v'makom echayah. And Rav Huna said, this is only true if the person himself brought it together. Now, if you're going to tell me that according to Rabbi Yishmael, even if it's poltasoy sakin, it's loy batal, meaning even if you flayed it, the halacha is it could still be mitzdarif, not like the Gemara just said Rav Huna was saying in his Pirish on Rabbi Yishmael. So Rav Huna damak Rabbi Yishmael. That it makes sense. This first halacha that Rav Huna said. What was Rav Huna's first halacha? That if a person flayed an animal, he has this olol. What's the olol? That's the basar that came off while he was slaying the animal. He gathered it together. Basar mechunas b'makom echad, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is going to be mitzdarf. Now, who's he going according to? He's going according to Rabbi Yishmael. Now, even though he flayed it, it would work if you hold that Rav Huna said that Rav Shmuel said his halacha not only when it was poltasei chaya, even when it was poltasei sak. Eli, I'm poltasei sak. Rabbi Shmuel batal. But if you're going to tell me that even Rabbi Shmuel never said his halacha when it was poltasei sak, Rav Huna da, my command. Then who's Rav Huna going like l'chayra? In Rabbi Shmuel, in the Mishnah, Daf Kuf Chaf Dal and Amar Aleph holds that a chatzi zayis and a chatzi zayis are never mitzdarif when it comes to nevelas. So Rabbi Yehuda, in our Mishnah, that says all the olol could be mitzdarif, definitely can't be going according to Rabbi Yehuda. That definitely can't be going to Rabbi Akiva. Elamai must be going to Rabbi Shmuel, who holds two chatzi zayis and could be mitzdarif. The problem is Rabbi Yehuda is talking about where he flayed it, and Rav Huna said that Rabbi Shmuel never said his halacha when he flayed it. So then Rabbi Huda Dama Kaman. He doesn't shtim with Rabbi Akiva in the Mishnah Daf Kuchav Dalef Lamed Aleph. That's obvious. He also doesn't shtim with Rabbi Shmuel based on the way Rav Huna just explained Shitas Rabbi Shmuel. So the Gemara says, Ella, you have to say, La'olam poltasoy sakin the Rabbi Shmuel loybot. You have to say that really, even if it's poltasoy sakin according to Rabbi Shmuel, it's not going to be batal. Meaning, even if it was poltasoy sakin, Rabbi Shmuel says in the Mishnah, Daf Kuf Chav Dalet, that the two half is Eisen Amitztarev, it's true if it was poltasoy chai, it's also true if it was poltasoy sakin. If that's the case, who's Rav Huna? What's Rav Huna's chiddush? Rav Huna said halacha that two half a zaysim are not mitzdarf. The Gemara didn't understand what exactly Rav Huna's chiddush was. Is he saying that I'll leave to Rabbi Shmuel? It's not true. Rabbi Shmuel holds two half a zaysim are mitzdarf. Is he going according to Rabbi Akiva? The Gemara's gash was pshita. That is what Rabbi Akiva said. So the Gemara had no choice but to come up with some novel
point that Rav Huna was making by saying that he was going to Libid Rabbi Shmuel, and he was qualifying Rabbi Shmuel by saying that Rabbi Shmuel only said his halacha by Paltasoy Chaya, not by Paltasoy Zakta. But now we're falling off of that. So then what exactly is Rav Huna coming to say? Zakta Gemara, for Rabbi Huna, Domek Rabbi Akiva. Rav Huna was coming to say Rabbi Akiva. Aye, what's the kasha? Pshita? Gemara, I'll tell you the chiddush. Ma'al detayim, I would have thought, ki come Rabbi Akiva, hani mili Paltasoy Zakta. Maybe when Rabbi Akiva says halacha, that's if it was Paltasoy Zakta. Now, Paltasoy Chaya, loy Pato. Maybe Rabbi Akiva only said his halacha by Paltasoy Zakta. It's the same svar in the reverse. We're saying it's more mistaber that it shouldn't be mistarif when it was paltasei sakin. Because by you removing the basar as you're flaying it, you're being mevatel the chashivas of the basar somehow. So maybe Rabbi Kiva only said his halacha by paltasei sakin. Maybe didn't say his halacha by paltasei chaya. Kamash malon. That was Rav Huna's chiddush. The time of Rabbi Akiva, mepnei sha'ar mevatlon. Rav Huna gave a reason. The chiddush of Rav Huna wasn't the halacha. It's Rabbi Akiva's halacha. The chiddush of Rav Huna was the reason that he gave for his halacha, because that's not something that's mufurish in the Mishnah. Daf Kuf Chav Dalet Amud Aleph. Oh, and the Gemara is going to say that in 1 second. You're asking good, and the Gemara is about to say that. Look, but either way, that's Rav Huna was coming to you mechadish to emphasize the reason. The reason is the Ur is mevatlon, and has nothing to do with the fact that you were mevatlit when you flayed it. It's the art that's mevatel. L'may nafkimina, if it's because you were mevatel, then it would only be true by Paltas Seisachin. Because it's the art that's being mevatel, it means Rabbi Akiva's halacha is going to be true, even if it's Paltas Seisachin. Inside, kamash malon, time it Rabbi Akiva, mnesha ar mevatlon, therefore, loishna palat chaya, loishna palat sakin. And then the Gemara says, your kasha, kidiktani seifa. And really, it's mefurish in the seifa. Mnei ma om Rabbi Akiva, metayer ba'ar, mnesha ar mevatlon. And your question is, hajra kushal aduchte. So again, what's Rav Huna's chiddush? So I think for now we'll go weiter and we'll pick this up in Yetz Hashem on Daf Kuf Chaf Dalid Excel. Either way, Zok the Mishnah Mike. So the first Mishnah from here until the end of the Daf is lighter. So the first Mishnah mentioned Ha'or as being one of the things that are mitzvah for the Shir Tumas Leichlin, but not mitzvah for the Shir Tumas Nevela. Zok the Mishnah. It's not true for all Or. There are certain Oirois of certain animals and creatures with halacha is different. Those ors are considered oichel unto themselves. The following ors are treated like basar, or ha'adam. So a person, a kezayis basar of a human corpse is metame tumas meis, even tumas oil. What about the or? What about a person's skin? Is it mitzdarif for the shir or is it not mitzdarif to the shir? Says the Mishnah, Eilu sharisein kibsaron, or ha'adam. Va'or chazir shal yishu. The or of a chazer that lives in the yishuv. Rabbi Huda says, af or chazer abar. Even the or of a chazer that roams in the wild. Va'or chateresh al damal arako. The or of the hump of a young camel. Va'or haroish shal egel arach. The or of the head of a young calf. Va'or haprosos. The or of the hooves of an animal. Va'or beis haboshes. That's the or of oisei makoim of a female animal. Va'or hashlil. Va'or shal tachas ha'alyo. The or that's underneath the tail of the animal. Va'or ha'anoko va'koyach va'alto va'choymet. Those are four of the shmoinish ratzim. So all those oirois are treated like bas. Rabbi Yehuda says, I'll talk a chulna. No. Tanakama, you said that the anoko, the koyach, the halto, and the choymet are all considered shratzim whose oirois are kibsarin. I disagree with halto. Halto is treated like a chulda. Chulda is a weasel. And that oir is not kibsarin. Chulon, as it relates to all these oirois, ivdan, oish, hilach ben kidei avoidet tahirin. If somebody would walk on them or process them at that point, it for sure wouldn't be considered basar anymore. So in its natural state, the oir is considered basar. But once it goes through the tanning process, at that point, it's not considered basar. Chutz mei oir adam. With the exception of oir adam, there's a chumrah, the Gemara is going to give a reason for it, that even after it's processed, if somebody did that, or tanned it, actually made something from Ur Ha'adam, it would not lose its status of Ur Ha'adam, it would still be Metama. One last halacha, Rebecha Menuria, Meshmoyne Shratzim, Yesh Lehen, Ur is that it's not only the that all Shmoyne Shratzim, their Ur is considered Kivsar. Zakti Gemara Amar Ula. Ula said, Tar Toira Ur Ha'adam Tahar. So the first halacha in the Mishnah said, Elo Sharisen Kivsar was Ur Ha'adam. And then the Mishnah brought up Ur Ha'adam a second time. What was the second mention? First one was that even though Ur is usually not treated like Basar with regards to Tumah, that's the first Mishnah in the Perek. Ha'or v'harayt, right? Name of the Perek. So that was the first, very first halacha of the Mishnah, stating that, as it relates to Or Adam, it's one of the exceptions to the rule, Eilu Shairei Seyem Kivsar. So Or Adam is unique in that the Or is treated like Basa with regards to Tumah. It has another unique quality in Hilchas Toma, and that is ordinarily oirois, even the ones that are like basar, once you process them, once they go through the tanning process, at that point they're certainly not treated like basar anymore. Chutz mi oir ha'adam, zok di gemara, ula said var teira oir ha'adam tar. Really, midai raisa, oir ha'adam is no different than the oir of a behema. It's like ha'or v'haroite v'hakipa v'alol, etc. Really, it should be treated like not like boss. Mata mamru tame. Why then did Chacham say it's tame? Xerishamayasa adam oiros of the imay shatichim. Estamaisa. We're concerned that somebody's going to take the oir of his father or mother, Rachmana Litzlan, and he's going to make a couch out of it. He's going to make a pillow. He's going to make a chair. Says Toisvis. We don't want him to do that, because if he does that, he's going to be Mavaz's parents, which Toisvis says is chamur tuva. It's very, very chamur kibud aveh. Right? Even though kibud aveh is only a mitzvah saseh, and ain't koifin al kibud aveh, because it's a mitzvah saseh, and scharu betzida. But at the same time, we know it's a mitzvah chamur adlam aveh. It's chamur tuva, says Toisvis. So we're worried about a person who may take the oir of his parents, and he's gonna make things from it, tapestries from it. So exactly, that Meshuggah. This is who we're worried about. So the Chachamim said, I have a way of preventing it. You know how you prevent it? It's Tameh. Oh, it's Tameh. Now already he's not going to do it. We'll get back to this. Some say that this halacha, this reason was said not on the Reish of the Mishnah, but rather was said on the Sefer of the Mishnah. So we said that Oira Adam is mentioned twice in the Mishnah as being unique. Number one, it's one of the Oirois that are kivsara, not like the oirois mentioned in the first Mishnah of the Perek. Number two, ordinarily, even the oirois that are treated kivsaran, that's only when they're in their natural state. But once they go through the tanning process, at that point, not. The Mishnah said, chutz miyara adam. So in the second version of the Gemara, ula's halacha was said not on the reish of the Mishnah, but on the seif of the Mishnah. As we're going to see, there's a very important nafkamina lahalacha where the ula's comment was made on the reish or on the seif. So it was regarding the seif, omar ula dvar taira oir adam sha'avdei tahar, matam amrutam exer. He said that as relates to the Seifa, it's over there mid the Uraisa, really, if you'd process the Ur of Adam, of course it would be tar. It's because of this chashash that someone's going to make something out of the Ur of his parents that the Chachamim made this gzeirah. The one that had Ula's comment of Dvar Torah Ur Adam Torah on the Reisha, certainly on the Seifa, meaning Ula holds that the whole idea that Ur Adam is treated kivsaran as only a dinder rabbanan, not a dinder raisa. Man the masniyah seifa la bereisha tuma day raisa. One that had on the seifa holds that really ula holds that oir ha'adam is tame midday raisa. The only time ula said oir ha'adam is tar midday raisa is in the case where it was processed. Being that it was processed midday raisa it's tar. It's only over there midrab. Meaning the nafkamina between the first lashon of ula and the second lashon of ula is fundamentally whether this that we say that oir ha'adam is kivsaran is that a dinder raisa or is that a din. According to the first lishon in the Gemara, it's a din derabbanan, dvar Torah oir adam tahar. According to the second lishon in the Gemara, that is a din deraisa. So just to pause for a few moments, and that is, so the Gemara says something very interesting. The Gemara says that when the Mishnah says that oir ha'adam is treated kivsara, meaning the oir of a human corpse is tamei, it's only a din derabbanan, certainly according to the first lishon in the Gemara. Why would the Rabbanan make such a takanah? Midday raisa, oir is not treated like basar, so why would the Rabbanan go ahead and make such a chumrah? They said because they were worried about a person that may go and take the oir of his parents, make a pillow, make a chair out of it, and if he does that, he's going to be mezalzel in the covet of his parents. We know the Gemara says, mechabdei b'chayim, mechabdei l'chamoisah, that a person has an obligation to mechabed his parents even after they're not alive anymore. And this person is going to violate mitzvahs kibud aveim, says Tosfos de chomer tuva. So to prevent this from happening, what did the Chachamim say? The Chachamim said, it's Tameh. Oh, if it's Tameh, now we're ready, all bets are on. What comes to mind is the Gemara Masechtas Yuma, Daf Chof Gimel Lamed Aleph. The Gemara over there discusses the history of the Geirolois that they used to make every morning in the Beis HaMikdash to determine which Kayin would do which Avoida. The Gemara says as follows. Tanu Rabbanan. Maisa, there was a story of Shnei Kayhanim, Shayu Shneim Shavim. There were two Kayhanim that were running up the ramp. They both wanted to do the first mitzvah that was done every morning on the Mizbech, the mitzvah of Trumas Hadeshen. Kadam Echad Ehem Vuteich Abba Amish Al Chaveroi. And the race is on, and they're within four Amis of each other. Not Al Sakin, the person who realized that he was about to lose, took his Sakin out, right? The Kayhanim used to carry a Sakin. Vitok Al Tloy Beliboy. And he stabbed the person that was ahead of him. He literally stabbed him. So now he was able to win the race. Omad Rab Tzadik Amaylas Ulam. So Rab Tzadik was there. He got up on the steps of the Ulam. The Omar and he gave his Rasha. He said, Achenu Beis Yisrael, Shimu.
give a kick, or more accurately, listen to what just happened. The pasuk says, we know that if you find a corpse and then the parsha shoyft, and the Torah talks about the mitzvah of egla harufa. Now we just found the cholol, and the cholol was found in the Beis Hamikdash. So he said, Rabbi, I'm going to ask you a question. A lamdish shayla, all the lamdim. He said, who's supposed to bring the egla harufa now? Amila havi egla harufa. Aloir. Should the whole Yerushalayim bring it? Or maybe Alo Hazaros, maybe the Yidden and the Hazara. And he wasn't looking for an answer. He was trying to make a point. He was trying to show the Olam what just happened. I mean, the Torah talks about Shvichas Damim with the Egla Arufa. And here we had Shvichas Damim literally on the Mizbeach. And the Gemara says that the Olam listened to Rab Tzadik's Drasha, Kalu Kalu Ambebchia. And they all cried. But Avim Shaltina, as this Drasha is going on, and this very poignant scene, where all the Kayhanim, everybody's crying, listening to Rab Tzadik, give them a Musa Shmuz for how terrible the situation devolved to. So the father of this child, Rachmana Litzlan, that was just stabbed to death, he comes running, he saw that his son was mefarcheses. He wasn't literally dead yet. Omar, he said, Hareyu kaparaschem. He said that my son's dead, let this be a kapara for what just happened. And then he said, Vadayim b'ni mefarfer. He says, look, my son is still alive. V'loy nitma sakin. The knife is not tameya. Go chap the sakin. So this is the father of the child. He goes and he tells them, go grab the sakin because it's meparcheses, not mishar sugyas. And he said, you can grab the sakin out because it didn't become tameya. He says, the Gemara, that you want to see what the state of the union was at that time. They went and they chapped the sakin to make sure that it wouldn't become tameya. And you see from here, that for the oilam then, the laws of tumah v'tahira were more chamer than shvichas damim. And a shvichas damim took place. And that somehow, on some level, was okay. But the fact that the keli was going to be tamei, that's a problem. So go ahead, quickly, remove the sakin. It's like, this is going to be tamei. So you see from here, shekosha aleim tahiras kelim yoisim mishvichas davim. The Olam used to take tumah v'tahira more seriously than shvichas davim. So it's very gishmak our Gemara. Says the Gemara that they were trying to prevent people from being mevaza their parents. You know what they said? That if you're going to make a chair, you're going to make a couch out of the or of your father and your mother, the couch is going to be, oh, Tomei, that already they're not getting involved in. So to be mevaza the parents, keep it over aim, which is chomer tuva, no. But as it relates to Tumah v'tahira, that they took more seriously. Is it a chiddush? No, it's not a chiddush. It's a Gemara in Yuma. Daf Chaf Gimel Amud Aleph. The Gemara says, "Lamedcha shekosh aleim tahiras kelim yosem mishvichas damim." It's interesting that there's a halach in Shulchan Aruch in Simin Kuf Yotes in Yeridaya, Sif Katan Dalit and Hey. The context over there is a chashud. Right. So sometimes a person can violate a certain halacha in Shulchan Aruch or a certain mitzvah, asay, loisa asay, and become a chashud for that thing. And if you're a chashid for something, we don't trust you as it relates to that particular item to which you're chashid. And it impacts many areas in halacha. Hilchas Eidus, Hilchas Shvuas, could you be a shaychid? If somebody is chashid in a gevissa area, so it impacts the reliability that this person is now going to have in that area. It says the Shulchan Aruch, ha-chashid l'davar echad, enei chashid l'dvar macher. If someone is chashid for one thing, he's not chashid for a davar echad. Skip it. Says the Shulchan Aruch weiter, but a chashid al iser chamer. If someone's chashid for an iser chamer, chashid al akami menor, then he's going to be a chashid for the davaka. So even though it's true, a chashid al davar echad, ain't a chashid dvar macherim, that's only if they're equal. But if someone's chashid for a davar chamer, right, if someone is not nizer in machalis asurais, then certainly he's going to be chashid for something that's only about nefesh yach, right? Because one is more chamer than the other. So there's a concept of a chashid al iser chamer. That person is chashid for iser akal mimenu. Stating that, says the Shulchan Aruch, a very important caveat, that when is that true? That's only elim kein chamer be'enei b'nei adam. He said that's only true that if people actually treat the Isser Chomer as being more Chomer than the Isser Kal. Meaning, if you have two Isurim, and one in Halacha is more Chomer than the other, but Be'enei Habriya, it's not necessarily that way. So then, this Halacha is not going to be true. Meaning, this that we say, a Chashad al Isser Chomer is Chashad al Isser Kal, you know what defines Chomer and Kal? Not for state in Shulchan Aruch, but people. This is about human psychology. If somebody is chashid for this, doesn't mean he's going to be chashid for that. It really depends on exactly what people think. And it's all Be'enei Abriyos. So you're going to tell me, what do you mean? This is so chamor. This is not as chamor. I hear, but that's not what governs this halacha. What governs this, try not to give examples. What governs this halacha is Be'enei Abriyos. It's not what was actually stated in Shulchan Aruch. And just to bring out this point from a mefurish halacha in Shulchan Aruch, Mechaber gives an example. And this is many, many simonim later. It's in Yoyredeya also. It's in Hilchas Yayin Nesech. It's in Kuf Chav Tes, Sif Katan Yodal. Zok to Shulchan Aruch. Zoyna Oyvedes Kaychavim, the Mesibas Yisrael. There were a bunch of Yidden sitting together. They were eating. They were drinking wine. And there was a Zoyna, a non-Jewish Zoyna. So the halacha is Hayayim Mutter. You're allowed to drink the wine. Now, why would you think you're not allowed to drink the wine? Out of a concern that maybe the Zoyna, who's a non-Jew, touched the wine. Once she touches it, it's maga over the kechavin. It's also v'shtir. You're not allowed to drink it. I mean, this is Yayin Nesach 101. So the halacha is that if she's sitting at the table, it's okay. She'im anichin oisel l'nasech. Because it's understood that she's not allowed to touch the wine. Al v'zoyna Yisraelis b'mezinas over kechavin. What if it was in the reverse? What if a zoyna Yisraelis is sitting with the mesibah over the kechavin? So there the halacha is, yena shel zoyna gam kein asa. The zoyna is not allowed to drink because there the sitting with over the kechavin. The kechavin touched the wine, so the zoyna is not allowed to drink it. Frank the Taz, Rabbeinu Shalaylov, what's going on over here? You have a bunch of Yidden sitting together with a Zoyna. Oyvedes Kaychavim. And we have a Shiloh. Is the Yayin Mutter? Is the Yayin Us? What do you mean? The Zoyna sitting there. She touched the wine. No, no, the wine's Mutter. You know why? She'ein manichin oisel l'nasech. Because no one's going to let the Zoyna touch the wine. Why are they not going to let the touch the wine? Because they're very frum. Because there's a halacha of a Stam Yenam, of Magayah. In fact, the Taz, they're sitting with a Zoyna. So they're not worried about Kili Arayis, but they're worried about Stam Yenam. Dr. Taz, yeah. Yeah, that's the short answer. And he says, take a look. He says, take a look at Yerudeya Simin Kuf Yotes of Cotton Hay. That there's a concept sometimes, Be'enei Abriyos, that one thing will be a lot more chamer than the other. So here you have an idea where it was very chamer by them, Stam Yenam. But hey, man, you know, they're not going to let her touch the wine. But somehow, the Arayas part, that they don't have an issue with. Unbelievable. Varm the floor. But either way, this is a machaber again. In Yerudeya Simin Kuf Yotes of Cotton Hay, and in Yerudeya Simin Kuf Choftes, Kuf Yotes, and Kuf Choftes, Sif Katan Yodalit. You know, Shlomo Zalman Brun and Shaar Mitzion and Balacha. So whenever the Gemara talks about such an idea, he always brings out this Ha'ar. He's Mayrich on this in a lot of different places with a lot of beautiful Mayrim Mekoymas. One Mayrim Mokim that I saw in the Shaar Mitzion and Balacha is he brings the Tshuva from the Heilige Divrei Chaim. The Divrei Chaim's Tshuva is in Yerudeya Chelek Beis. It's Simen Kuf Zayin. And the Tshuva was written to his son, the Bni Chavivi, Harav Hamor Hagadol, Tzadik Mefursim Chorif Ubaki, Moreno Verabeno, Harav Yecheskel Shraga of Bezdin, the Shinova. So this is the Divrei Yecheskel. The Shinova Rebbe, who was the Divrei Chaim's son, and he wrote a Tshuva to him. And this is a Tshuva that's Negei, the Halachas of Bechairai. So maybe we'll revisit this in a few weeks. Metz Hashem, when we start learning Mesechtes Bechairai. But it was Negei, Bechairai Bizman Hazeh, with taking a non-Jewish partner, right? Taisvis and Bechairai Stapes and Mebeis, etc. The first Sugya in Mesechtes Bechairai. But either way, he writes this whole Tshuva, does the Divrei Chaim to his son, about how you're supposed to go about Bechairai Bizman Hazeh, with Machlekes Rashi Rabbeinu Tam, with Kesef and Meshicha, for clearly ain't common coin, right? But either way, so says the Divrei Chaim at the very end of the Tshuva. These are the last two paragraphs. He says, "Agam sheyodati shababu yinesenu harabim ami b'makole yishol ubefrat be'inei alomdim be'ineim isid rabbonim kozeh kalamoy." See, now I wrote this long Tshuva, but let's be honest. At the end of the day, this is not an area that people take too seriously in halacha. This is a dover that's kal ma'od and says that the Divrei Chaim she'bavoy neisenu harabim. He says, unfortunately, today machmirim bechasidus. There are people that are very machmir in certain areas. They're big chasidim, but umakilim b'mashech mir Torah, and they're big makilim with things that the Torah said. So when it comes to things that are extra credit that you don't have to do mili de chasidus, we find that people are very, very machmir. But when it comes to things that the Torah was machmir, that's okay. Va'oimrim, and you know what they say? She'bidiyevet al koponim kosher. Is it okay, bidiyevet? So it's a dover she'achmira b'toyrim, but it's okay, bidiyevet. I mean that it's okay, bidiyevet. They are somehow fine with that. And then the Divrei Chaim gave an example of it. He says, "Ukumoisha shamati b'dayonim rabim she'nekolahem." I've heard that many dayonim, these are people that write gittin. They write gittin. And they're very mekel, lahashmet shem aviho isha beget. So sometimes they won't write the Isha, who's being divorced, father's name in a get, Imrak Enam Yoidin Lichtav Kinei Hashem. They don't know how to write it 100% properly, the kinui of his name.
you know, what he's referred to as, his nickname, so to speak, sometimes they'll omit it completely. Also, very often I've heard that there are people that write Gittin, and they'll write the name of the man and the name of the woman that are getting divorced, but if they have certain nicknames, names that they're referred to, so Yaakov, Yanko, like they'll leave these nuances out. So what do they write? Write Shema Nikola Sefer Torah. And they do a Machmas Psakara Mozal Evan Ezesim and Kufchav Tesef Chiyutches. Asher Gedoyle Achreinu Mamesh Betshuvas Umichtav Eliyahu Zechreinu Vracha Poislin Umaane Bifi Shualim Ketanim Halol. Listen to this lesson. He says Umaane Ma'ane Lashon. Uma'ane, we have a batfila here. Befi shualim ketanim halolo. In the mouth of these shualim. Shekein mekubul biyoda migo'oine dar shalifoneinu. That they have such a kabbal. Ube'emes ha'gdoilim zal shaper osu. Shekein masu biyodeinu migdoili ashkenaz. Shabim iyef shalova yal tchunas ha'shem. Sagi b'shem ha'chanicho. Oishem de sefer Torah l'chud. It's true, there is a messiah that b'di'evet, if you write the name that the person is called up to the sefer Torah to, it's going to be okay. That's true, but that's only true if it's b'di'evet. But if it's not b'di, but if the b'di'evet is the fact that they just don't know and they decided we're going to be soymich on the b'di'evet and we're not going to do our due diligence to find out to the best of our ability what's going on, he says v'vaday asu lichmois lismoy chazeh v'yasu sheilu l'godol ador. You have to go ask shaylos v'hemi yivaru eich lichtoiv signon Hashem v'ein loy mehaloy b'di'evet kosher zeh enoy kimavur bak domo l'sei v'shmois da'al zeh nemar kol she'ene b'deya b'tiv gittin lo yeh loy esek imam hagam de b'di'evet kosher. And then he writes at the end, he says, woe is to me that I had to witness this in my generation. We have people that somehow, when it comes to Gittin, something that's so chomer, that being soymich b'di'evet. And then he writes at the end, I'm telling this to you, you have to know this. I know. He uses this lashon again. He's referring to them as shualim. Right, but either way, he says they're not going to listen to you. But the punchline, what he was trying to tell him was, is he says, you know, unfortunately, I see this a lot. And Baba Yonaseinu, a rabbi, machmirim bechasidus, umakirim b'mashe chmira Torah, va'omrim shebediyevet al koponim kasher. You see, the Rechaim was very passionately about, give an example, Gittin, it's mamash all over the place. But he felt very, very passionately about this idea. And this, again, this is an idea that's already brought down in Shulchan Aruch, in Yerideh Simen Kuf Yotes, in Yerideh Simen Kuf Choftes, the Gemara in Mesechtes Yumadav, Chof Gimel Amar Aleph, Lametcho, that was kosher aleim, Tyrus Kalem, Yoisim Eshvichas Damim, and you have it right here, tucked away, Mesechtes Chulin, Dav Kuf Chabe, that it was more chomer by people tuma than it was kibud av eim. So a person would maybe be mevazeh's parents to make a couch out of the ur of rachmana litzlan, his parents' corpse. But if you tell him he's going to be tameh, then already somehow that's going to get him to stop. Either way, zok de gemara vayta. The Mishnah said v'or chazir, the ur of the chazir. So the halacha is, it's unique in that it is kivisar. Stating that, we had a machloikis. Is it only the chazir of the yishuv, or is also the chazir that roams in the wild? So up to more, Michael, what's the beer in the machloikis? Very simple. The beer in the machloikis is just more physical. The texture of that or if the or is considered soft like basar, then we would treat it like basar. If it's considered hard, then we wouldn't treat it like basar. Machloikis was, is it considered soft, or was it not considered soft? The or of the hump of a young camel is also treated like bus. Kama gomel arak. What does a young camel mean? Amar ulo, amar Rabbi Shulban Levi. Ulo sent the name Rabbi Shulban Levi because man shloi ta'ana. As long as this camel didn't have any load carried on it, that would be considered young. So it's not so much about age. What it really means is did it physically carry a load? Boy, Rabbi Yirmiya, but Rabbi Yirmiya wasn't so sure. He said, he is mad a little bit ta'ana mai. What if it's old enough that it can start carrying a load, but it didn't physically carry a load? What be the halacha that? By cleared the reverse question. What if it really wasn't old enough to carry a load, but we put a load on it? What would be the halacha that? Take it. Yes, Rish Lakish coming by you late. Rish Lakish once sat down and he asked the same question. What's the age of this young camel where a reseyan of its hump is kivsar? Amalei Rabbi Shmuel ben Abba. Hachar Rabbi Shmuel ben Levi. Shmuel ben Abba told Rabbi Shlokish, I heard the name Rabbi Shmuel ben Levi. Chosman shalei ta'ana. As long as it didn't carry a load. Amalei, Rabbi Shlokish was so happy with Rabbi Shmuel ben Abba told him. He was so excited. He never heard this. He said, wow, Rabbi Shmuel ben Levi, he gave that as the age of the gomel haraka. He said, Tivle Kabli, have a seat, sit right next to me, or right across from me. He was mechabed him. The Gemara says that
there was another story with another gadol, Reb Zeira. Yes, Reb Zeira, come by later. Reb Zeira once said, and he asked the same question, Kama Gomel Araka? What's the age of the Gomel Araka? Amalei Rav Bar Chinina. So Rav Bar Chinina told him, Hachi Amar Ula Amar Bishom Levi. He said, I also heard from Rav Bishom Ben Levi, calls Man Shalei Tohana. He said, as long as it didn't, and have a Katanila. And the Gemara says that Rav Bar Chinina, he repeated to Reb Zeira, he said it a second time. So he told him, he gave him his answer, and then he repeated the answer. So Amalei, so Reb Zeira told him, Chada Havalon. What, you only have one thing to say? That you have to repeat it? He said, Amrit, Sashon Gezok, you don't have to say it a second time. And the Gemara comments, Tochazi, Ma bein Tkifa Aridi Yisrael, L'chasidei Debavel. Take a look at the difference between the Takif in Eretz Yisrael and the Chassid and Bavel. Who was the Takif in Eretz Yisrael? Rish Lakish. Rish Lakish was a Takif. We'll read Rashi inside. Rashi gives examples of where you find Rish Lakish was a Takif. Reb Zeira was the Chassid and Bavel. Yet, Rish Lakish, when he heard from Rabbi Shmuel Bar Abba, what Rabbi Shmuel Bar Levi said, he was so excited that he was mechabed him. He said, wow, thank you so much for giving me this piece of information. I never knew how to define the Gomel Araka in the Mishnah Chulin Kuf Chavezim and Aleph. And he said, have a seat, and he gave him covet. Reb Zeira, who was the Chassid and Bavel, counterintuitively, right? Just that's what the comment is. The comment is the irony is that the Reb Zeira the Chassid, what did he tell Rav Bar Chinina? He almost mocked him in a way. Kadiyachol. He said, "What? This is the only thing you know that you have to tell it to me twice." Not only wasn't he mechaber him like Reish Lakish was, but to the contrary. So where do you find that Reish Lakish was a takif, and where do you find that Reb Zeira was a Chassid? So Rashi says as follows: Reish Lakish mitkifet arid Yisrael. Five lines from the bottom. Kid arminu perik kamad yuma, like you find in Yuma daf testament base. Mandem eshtoy Reish Lakish ba'adei. If somebody would see somebody talking with Reish Lakish, yavalei iska b'loy sahadi. People would trust this, but Reish Lakish didn't just talk to you. So if Reish Lakish was having a conversation with you, it meant you were an erlich mensch, so erlich that people would go ahead, they would lend money to, they would give him an iska, right? They would invest with him. But like sadly, they wouldn't even need aid him because they would trust this person 100%. Chasam Sofer says, in Torah's Moshe and Parashas Mishpatim, Al Toshes Yotche Im Rasha, Liyos Eid Chamas, that people have to be careful who they associate themselves with. Specifically, chashuva people. Because if you are going to associate, if you're a person of chashivas, and you now associate with Pliny, people are going to assume that that Pliny is a good guy. And they may go ahead and trust him. And they may give him something b'loy sahadi, like the Gemara says about Reish Lakish. And you know what's going to come out? That you being together with this Rasha ended up being Eid HaSheker. Because you're testifying, so to speak, by being chaveir with this person, that this person is a good guy, when in reality he's not a good guy. So he said, imagine Reish Lakish would have spoken to somebody that wasn't Erlich. Somebody would have trusted him, b'loy sadi. The next thing you know, l'hadam, l'hayidvar me'ayla, migus, right? You would have the whole bava kama, bava mitzi, bava masters. Well, k'vein tzuras. So here, you have to be very careful. Reish Lakish certainly did who he spoke to. So says the Hilgi Chassam Sofer, al toshes yotche in Rasha. Don't just go ahead and become a chaver with a Rasha, because Leo said chavas, you realize if you're going to be chaver with a Rasha, you're saying ey d'sheker. Because people are going to assume this Rasha is not a Rasha, because otherwise, why is this person associating himself with him? And at the end of the day, a terrible churban can come about from that. But either way, so this is Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish. I hear, very good. Thank you, Mosh. So either way, says Rashi. So Reish Lakish was from the Takifin. B'hach, and what did Reish Lakish do over here? When he heard this pshat, he wasn't a Takif. He said, Tivle Kabli. But Reb Zeira, the Mibavel, Salik Lahachak, the Minibasek, Zapoilam. Reb Zeira, even though Reb Zeira lived in Eretz Yisrael, and Bavel, right, Reb Zeira, the Gemara, of Ksubis, and Megillah, different places, but the Gemara talks about Reb Zeira's Hesped, Bavel, and Eretz Yisrael participated in the Aspedim of Reb Zeira, because Reb Zeira was a product of Bavel and a product of Eretz Yisrael. But either way, Reb Zeira, who went from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, Reb Zeira Oisif Arbon Tanesi Dinish Takach Minei Tamud Bavloi. So he first learned Talmud Bavli, and then he fasted 40 Tanesim that he should forget Talmud Bavli. So Rashi is just bringing an example of where you see that Reb Zeira went from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael. But either way, Umachaside the Bavel Hava. Reb Zeira was from the Chasidim of Bavel. Chidar Mina Basaychas Apoyalim. Reb Zeira Yosef Kol Tausen Yoimin Bodik Navshe Veshoga Tanur Vesolib Bagava. Reb Zeira used to sit in an oven at Tanur every 30 days to see if he would be singed, to get an idea of the ish of Gehenim. Either way, Reb Zeira was a tremendous chassid. And what did Reb Zeira do? Chazi mai achsefe lahum de rabbanon. Achsefe is a lashon of embarrassing. Look at how he treated this one of the rabbanon. Either way, I'm not sure what the punchline is, but the point is the Gemara is certainly remarking rhetorically that give a kick, that Reish Lakish, who throughout Shas you think of as being a takuv over here, he was so happy with this vart that he heard, he said, Tivle Kabli. And Reb Zeira, whose personality throughout Shas is that of a chassid, opposite. Over here, it was just the opposite. Either way, v'ar ha-roish. So the Mishnah said that the ar of a roish of an eagle arach is also kibsar. Kama eagle arach. What's the definition of a young eagle? Ula Uma Ula says ben shnasai. Up until 1 year of life. Rabbi Yochanan said kol zman sheyoinik. So according to Ula, it's the first year of the eagle's life. According to Rabbi Yochanan, it's as long as it's nursing from its mother. Iba ilu heichi kamar Ula. How exactly do you understand it? Did Ula say ben shnasai v'hu sheyoinik? Ula said two things. It has to be less than a year old and nursing. Rabbi Yochanan came to say, no, all you need is that it should be nursing. Ula gave one qualification, not two. He had one criteria. It just has to be ben shnasai. It doesn't matter ben yoinik, ben shayin, or yoinik. Rabbi Yochanan said ben shnasai v'hu sheyoinik, and Rabbi Yochanan was saying two. So was Ula saying two? Rabbi Yochanan said one, or Ula needed both criteria? One of the criteria, Rabbi Yochanan said you need both criteria. So, Gemara Tashma, Diktok. Rabbi Yochanan Amar calls man sheyoinik. The word calls man. Ve'em isa v'u sheyoinik miboy leishma amino. Calls man is mashma, all you need is one. So, Ula held that it has to be within a year, and it has to be yoinik. And on that, Rabbi Yochanan said, "Kolz man sheyoinik." No, as long as it's yoinik, doesn't matter how old it is. Had Rabbi Yochanan been the one that was saying you need both, he would have said "vehu sheyoinik." He would have been adding. It's mash, but just the opposite. What's the halacha about the or of the head of a young eagle with regards to what? Sheyitama, is it metama or is it not metama? Amalei, Rabbi Yochanan told him, "Ain't it metama?" Amalei, so Reish Lakish told Rabbi Yochanan the obvious question. What's the question? It's on our Mishnah. Our Mishnah mentions one of the Elu Sha'irei saying Tivsaron is the R of the Rosh of an Egel Arach. So Reish Lakish asked Rabbi Yochanan essentially the halach of the Mishnah. He said, what's the halach of the R of an Egel Arach with regards to Tumma? Rabbi Yochanan said, no, it's not Kibsaran. So Amalei said, Reish Lakish told him, Adatanu Rabbeinu, you're the one who told me the Mishnah. Elu Sha'irei saying Kibsaran. And one of the things mentioned in the Mishnah is V'ayir Rosh of Egel Arach. Amalei said, he told him, Al Tach Niteini, don't ask me questions from that Mishnah. B'loshin Yochid Ani Shoinoisa. We've had this already a few times. L'il Daf Nun Heyam Adbeis, L'il Daf Ayin Zayin Amanav. He said, it's true, I taught you that Mishnah. But that Mishnah, which Mishnah? The Mishnah that we just learned. So usually it's that Mishnah. Now it's our Mishnah. It's this Mishnah. The Mishnah that we just learned is the opinion of a Yochid, the Tanya. Where do you see that? It's a Mefurisha Braisa. In the Mishnah, it sounds like it's a Stam Mishnah. But the Braisa tells the rest of the story. And in this case, the rest of the story is just who the author of the halacha is. It's a yachid. I mean that it's a yachid. Rabbi Yochanan didn't pass in that way. Time we learned to the brayis. Asho yichid. That's all. If somebody shechts a carbon oil, hak the kezayis meyosh tachaz alyo, and he had a mind to be makter a kezayis of the or that's underneath the tail. Chutzlam kaimai. If he had a mind to do chutzlam kaimai, pasul vei mekars. Chutzlam manai. Pigel v'chayav an old kars. Basic pigel. Meaning we look at the or shetachaz alyo as being basar. As a result, this is a regular carbon oil that was brought with a machsheves pigol. Chutzim kaimai, what's the halacha of pigol? Pasul ve'im by karis. Chutzim mani, what's the halacha of pigol v'chayav and all of karis? Elazar ben Yehuda ish avlum oimer mishum Rabbi Yaakov. V'chein oir Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda ish kvar ikum oimer mishum Rabbi Shimon. Echad or prasois. Ve'echad or haroi shel egal arach. That's what we need. Ve'echad or shel tachas ha'alyo. V'kol shem manu chachamim gabi tumah. And all that were mentioned by the chachamim regarding Tumah, she'oirei sein kivsara. And so usually when Chazal bring this braisa, it's not really relevant to what we're learning, other than a prat. But this is mamash our halacha. Elu shemanu chachamim gabi Tumah she'oirei sein kivsara. That's not, we're learning okta now, right? We're learning perikar v'raitim. These are our sugyas. Lahavi arshal beis haboishes, and that's coming the rabbis, even the ar of the beis haboishes. Everything was mentioned in the Mishnah. Chutzim kami pasav ei mekaris. Chutzim zmani pikam chayav and all karis. Meaning that treated like pasar. So said Rabbi Yochanan, it's true. The Mishnah says that all these oirois are kivsar. The Mishnah said it in the context of Tumah. I don't paskin like the Mishnah. How can you not paskin like the Mishnah? It's a Mishnah, and we know Rabbi Yochanan holds halacha like a Stam Mishnah. But Rabbi Yochanan told Reish Lakish that this is not a Stam Mishnah. This is a Yochid. Who's the Yochid mentioned in the Mishnah? It's a Braisa. Now the Braisa was said regarding Pigel. It's a Kachem de Gebraisa. And it's the same halacha, albeit a different application of it. That all these oirois are considered basar. Thus, if somebody would have a Machsheves Pigel regarding them, the halacha is it would be Chalva. It would be chal pigol. We would view it as basar. The punchline, as it relates to this gemara, is that who said the halacha that these oirois are basar regarding pigol? It was Elazar ben Yehuda ish avlum in the name of Rabbi Yaakov, and it was Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda ish kfar ikum in the name of Rabbi Shimon. The point is, it's a yachid. I mean, it's four tanoim that I mentioned, but it's yichidim in the sense that it's not a stam mishnah. I mean that it's not a stam mishnah. Rabbi Yochanan told Reish Lakish, I don't hold like this mishnah. You have a mishnah here, very nice, but Rabbi Yochanan told Reish Lakish, the halacha is not going to follow that stam mishnah. We will conclude a very festive week of Daf Yomi right here.